Well, I think also the challenge, the reality is that while we are seated in him in the heavenlies, while our affections should be set fixed there, that we are dealing with this old nature. We're dealing, and young people, we cannot fool ourselves to think that if, you know, if you look at verse 5, these are some pretty egregious things, egregious sins. And very often they don't start with what happens where fornication comes in. They begin way before the actual act, way before the uncleanness. The things that lead us to this perhaps is the things that we see, the things that we are occupied with, the conversations that we have with our friends and with our companions that lead us down this path. And so what Paul is saying to the Colossian saints is that you have to put to death your members so that they are not active or cannot be active instruments that will lead you into these sins. This is what we were once. We now ought to be those who are feeding and filling up the new man, the new nature. Whatever we feed upon, that's what we're going to be. You put garbage in, garbage comes out. So if I'm listening, and very often we focus sometimes keenly upon the things that we take in from the world, and we take them in through sight, through our hearing, through our occupation, where we are, our associations, and we're saying that you have to be careful with what you see. You have to be careful with what you hear. Later on, it speaks about, in verse 8, about filthy communication out of your mouth. I think it's James that says, is it possible that out of a fountain you can have both warm and cold, salt and fresh? So out of these mouths, can it be that we would also praise the Lord and then there would be filthy communication? If our affections are fixed where he is, then we'll find that it's much easier to mortify your members. But if our affections and if our heart's desire is not pursuing those things which are above, then you know what? The old man, the old nature is going to pursue these things. So let us realize that we are here on the earth. And that's why the challenge is that while we are on the earth, and it is true that we're here, that we have Christ in us that helps us to be those who are heavenly minded.
Alex, I want to address what you have set before us there when you say we should be more occupied with what we should be than what we were be. And I want to help us to see, and this is to help us, that the pathway of being what we should be is found in seeing what we were. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Now, let me give you the verses. It's right here in this chapter before us. Things which are above, verse 1. Your members are upon the earth. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still down here. I'm still in this earth, living a life for the glory of the Father. Then he reminds us, in fact, yes, we did have a past. Those things can come out in any one of us. But there's a big but now here. What a wonderful thing. But now ye also look at your margin. Are you trying to put off what has already been put off at Calvary? I have in my hands a little book. This book was printed probably in about 1900 or earlier. It's by Mr. H.J. Vine. I was given this in 1976 by a brother in Atlanta. I read it here a couple of months ago, and I thought every young person ought to have a copy of this book on the new man and the old man. Okay? You can buy it through Believer's Bookshelf, The New Man in Christ. I encourage you to get a copy of this book. He says in this chapter here, you have put off off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. What is this talking about? Is this just the saying something that's untrue to somebody else? That's not what this verse means. But this verse means that my life that I'm living is not really true of that which has been done in me by the work of Christ. My life is not reflecting what God has done. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man. Don't forget those last three words. With his deeds. That old man has not been forgiven, young people. God has not forgiven that old man. He has been condemned in the cross of Calvary. The only fruit that he could bring forth were the very fruits that when they came forth in our life, our Lord Jesus had to die for them. He has been defeated. It is looked at as a once already accomplished fact in the life of the believer. When I came to Christ, that old man was dealt with at Calvary. Now, I have to live in the reality that he still is in me. He still, as Emil told us years ago, he's the captain of that ship. He was put up into his cabin, but he likes to get out and influence you and I in what we do. Do I have any doubt about how he expresses himself? Well, there you have it. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, anger. These are the characteristics of that man. Not a one of us in this room that can say, well, they don't come out in me. If the Spirit of God is not in control in my life, they will come out. We can be sure of that.
You can just allow me to just go back a little bit to the list that we have in verse 5. Make a comparison to the list that we have in verse 8. All of these things are characteristics of the old man. The list that we have in verse 5 has very much to do with sins against the body. The list that we have in verse 8 is very much that which has to do with our mind. And when we think of sins against our body, first of all, and the list that is given there, I want to draw our attention to the verses we know, but I just want them to be fresh before us. From 1 Corinthians 6, and look at verse 19. As members of the body of Christ, who dwells within us? The Spirit of God. And I love the language that the apostle uses in 1 Corinthians, in verse 19. He says, what? With a question mark. What? And if I took the privilege of here using a word, one word, that we use, and maybe more even as young people, an expression that is used today, and we say to one another, and we understand what this means, and we go, really? Really? What? Really? I mean, really? Really? No, you not. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That takes up both areas of chapter 3 of Colossians. It takes up the list of that which is against the body and that which is in our minds. We have the body and the spirit, and both are God's because he's purchased us. But really, don't you know that as believers, you have divine persons living within you? Really? We know that. That's what joins us together as part of the body of Christ. And let us remember. Let us remember. Grieve not that spirit that is in you. And let that spirit that is in you energize us in the energy of the new man, having mortified and put to death the old man and living in this new energy, the energy of the Spirit of God in us to energize us in the life of the new man.